That was one of my dad's favorite songs. It's nice because it has a way of realigning our thoughts and everything and putting them back where they should be on Jesus and the work that he did for us. So it's good to be here again with you. I didn't expect this. It's kind of short notice, but such is life. We don't plan on people getting sick and all those sort of things, but they just kind of happen, and we roll with it and just have to adjust as we go. And so we, as Mark has already prayed, we pray for Pastor Jesse that he'll get well and he can be back to full capacity soon. But with that, I'm glad to fill in for him and glad to gather around God's word with all of you and look forward to seeing what he has for us in his word today. So our text is from the Gospel of St. Luke. It's chapter 6, and we read verses 17 through, let's see here, it's through 26, sorry. That's Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 17. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. I want to ask that you please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and shall cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for, behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto them that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Amen. Please be seated. So we go to the plain, the Sermon on the Plain with Jesus. This is very similar to the what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is recorded in Matthew's Gospel in chapters 5, 6, and 7. But this is a different event. This takes place at a different time when Jesus, he had just come off of a mountain. And in fact, he had just named his disciples. He had actually chosen the 12 disciples. And sometimes we think there were only 12 disciples, but there was actually a lot of disciples. But Jesus, all his disciples were there on the mountain. It was a whole bunch of followers that were there. And Jesus chose, out of all of them, he chose 12 of them that were to be his apostles. And they were like his what we call the 12 disciples. But a disciple is somebody that is taught. You know, they follow Jesus and they're taught by him. And he had many disciples. And we could say that we're Jesus' disciples also. because we follow him and we're taught by him. And so the text that we just read, it takes place just after Jesus had, he named his 12 disciples. And then he comes down off of the mountain and he goes onto this like plain. So it's just like a flat area, like a big field maybe or something. And he starts first of all, before he even starts to preach, we call it the Sermon on the Plain, but there's actually some other things that are happening here. This company of his disciples, like a whole bunch of his disciples are there. And there's also a big group of people that they came from all over the place, from Judea and Jerusalem and from all the way as far as Tyre and Sidon, which is pretty far away. They all came to hear Jesus, and they all wanted to be healed from their diseases. That's what they came to do. They were trying to be healed and to hear Jesus. And there was people there that had all sorts of problems. You know, there was people that had diseases and unclean spirits and just in general, pretty human group of people. They had lots of trouble. And they come to Jesus and they want to hear him. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. And it says that the whole multitude, everybody there, this whole big group of people they're seeking to touch him. They're trying to get to Jesus and touch him. And that's significant because it says that there went out virtue out of him. And I want you to remember this because it'll be important a little bit later on, that there went out virtue out of Jesus. This word that is in the King James here, which I read out of, virtue, is okay, but you know, there's also its power, its ability. In fact, the word used here in the Greek text is called dynamis, which means power or ability or virtue. In fact, we get the word dynamite in English, comes from this word in Greek, dynamis. And so we can understand what this is saying here, that there was ability and power that went out from Jesus, that it actually was able to accomplish things. And it was able to heal people and give them, it had the ability to fix their problems, which is very significant, that Jesus is able to fix our problems. And so as we go on, so this is the setting. All the people are kind of coming and crowding up to Jesus. They want to be healed, trying to touch him. And then Jesus, he lifts up his eyes on his disciples. And we can just picture this. You know, Jesus looking out into the big field of people here and all these followers of him. And then he starts to preach the sermon. And he says, blessed, poor. Blessed be ye poor. You know, you're blessed. Yours is the kingdom of God. Kind of a puzzling statement. You know, sometimes when we think of it, we don't even kind of really get what he's saying. Poor people are not blessed. You know, we know that because we kind of measure things according to how well off people are. You know, if they have a lot and they're a lot of money and whatever, they're very blessed, we say, and they're well off. And then somebody who's poor is not very well off. Well, here Jesus turns this whole thing on its head and he says that poor people, you're blessed. Yours is the kingdom of God. You know, this is like what's known as the great reversal. And Luke is good for this. It's constantly, we're shown this big reversal that's happening in Luke, where Jesus takes things that are normally the way things go and they're actually reversed. And so the poor people here, they're the blessed ones. And then it goes on, it gets, you know, even even more interesting, because he says that blessed are you that hunger. You know, you hungering people, you hungry people, you're blessed. You know, the people that are hungry right now, you're blessed, because you will be filled. And the people that are weeping, people that are crying right now, you're actually blessed, because you will laugh. You know, and it goes on, blessed are you when men shall hate you and separate you from their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So, you know, that one, we can't understand how can we be blessed when people hate us? And again, this doesn't really compute to our way of thinking. But really what's happening here is Jesus is preaching the gospel. Jesus is telling them good news. Like, this is really, if you want to know what the gospel is, this is what it is. It doesn't get any more basic than this. This is the essence of it. He's speaking directly to bad situations. You know, you got poor people, you got hungry people, you got people that are hated and persecuted and mistreated and all this sort of thing. And Jesus is telling them good news. He's actually speaking good to them. He's proclaiming it to them. He's saying that yours is the kingdom of God. You know, I'm going to give you good things. And, you know, it's just like this announcement to them. And so this is the purest form of the gospel, really. Jesus is preaching to them. He's telling them good news. He's saying, you're blessed because yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus is, he's going to help them. And, you know, that's who Jesus came for. He came for the people who need help. And as we'll see in the balance of this text, how there is also the other side of the coin is the people that don't need help. And these are the people that Jesus calls to repentance. He calls them to turn away from where they are because they're in a bad spot. And he tells them, whoa, like in other words, warning, like look out. You don't even realize that you're in a bad place. It's like you're on thin ice here because, you know, he says, woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation or your comfort. Interesting, this word here, consolation, is, again, in the Greek text, is the same, comes from the same root as paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. So in other words, like, or the helper is another way to say this. But anyway, he's telling, like, the people that are rich, you know, you have done everything for yourself, like, you think you're in a good place, but actually you're in a bad place. You've already you think you've already been helped. Like, you don't even need help. You don't need me. That's the whole thing that Jesus is driving at. That if you don't need me, this is a bad thing. If you don't need Jesus, you're in a bad place because you've already received your help. You've helped yourself, in other words. And the problem with that is that you're actually deceived. You know, it's actually not real. Everything that you think you've done is going to come into turn into be nothing. Just like he says at the end of this sermon, he talks about the people who build their house, and we know the old Sunday school story, the wise man builds his house on the rock, but the foolish man, he's building his house on the sand. That's what he says. And that's those are the ones that they do it by their own ability. They do it by their own, like, you know, they build their own house and they build it on the sand. And that's the problem with not doing it Jesus' way. Jesus' way is that we come to him with nothing. We come to him and we need him. That's the way Jesus wants to do it. And that's building your house on the rock. To come to Jesus, and we need him. When we come to him in that condition, we're in a good place. We're in a good place if we're poor, because he gives us the kingdom of God. We're in a good place if we're hungry. In other words, we don't have, like, we're not full. We need. We're in need. He has stuff to give us. He has everything to give us. And so, really, the essence of what Jesus is teaching here is that if you don't need him, that's bad. But if you do need him, that's good. That's a good thing, if you're in need of him. And that's what he's telling them. And this is really, this is law and gospel. This is gospel. This is good news for people that need Jesus, for people that they don't have it all figured out for their own. They need Jesus. Oh, this is good. This is a gospel. This is a good news, because he's saying, poor people, hungry people, people that are hurting and suffering, I have things that I'm giving you. And then this is also law, and this is also a call for repentance. If we're in this place where we think in some way that we don't need Jesus, that we have this figured out, you know, then he says, whoa, look out. Woe to you. You know, turn to me. He calls us to repentance, to turn away from our own way and to come to him, so he can help us. Because like Jesus said earlier in this Gospel of Luke, that the people that are healthy, they don't need the doctor. And we don't go to the doctor if we're feeling fine, and we don't go to the doctor for help, but only the sick people do. And so that's what Jesus, he came to help sick people. And the sooner we come to Jesus as needing help, the sooner we'll be helped, and really the better place we'll be in. If we need Jesus, this is a good thing. And so, again, back to the ability. Remember what Jesus is doing here. All these people are coming to him, and there's virtue, and there's power, ability that's coming out from Jesus. And that's what comes out to us today, too. The power to be the children of God, to be the sons of God, as John says in his epistle. As many as have received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You know, he makes us very, very rich. So in fact, that we're God's children. We're the children of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, like, he has brought us into the family. And so now God is our Father. As we already prayed, we said, our Father, who art in heaven. You know, God's our Father. That's because Jesus Christ did this. He brought us into this family. This was the power that's coming out. He has power to heal all of us. He has power to cover all of our sins. And this power is not limited just to this time when he's on this plane talking to these people, but his power is eternal. He's all-powerful. And it even extends all the way to right now, to the year 2022. It has power to heal and power to forgive human beings. And so we come to him in our need, and he helps us. He makes us poor people and hungry people. He makes us very, very rich. He gives us everything that he has. He just gives it to us. And that's gift. That's the gift of God. He gives it as a free gift to us. And so we have today. We have this gift is given to us today. And today we have the privilege to partake and to eat from his body and from his blood. You know, this also is part of the gift. And so I hope that when we're eating and drinking today, we're remembering this, that this is the gift. This is part of the gift. Jesus is giving himself to us for our forgiveness, for our life, for our salvation. And so we come to him in need. We come to Jesus, and he gives us everything. And so we're going to leave it right there, and we're going to partake of his Holy Supper. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this, your word. We're thankful for the promises that you have for us. We're thankful that Jesus helps poor people, and he helps people who are in need. And we ask that you would always keep us in that place where we need Jesus, because we know that Jesus gives us so much. Jesus gives us everything, and he makes us so rich. So we're so thankful for this. In Jesus' name, amen.